Today we want to take a look at the purpose of the Sabbath in light of three major events. And I'd like for you to jot them down, at least in your mind, if not on paper. We have some notes I think you would like to probably take today. And you might be blessed if you were to write a couple little thoughts as they come to you down on paper for reflection later on. So again, the purpose of the Sabbath, today we're going to study in light of three major events. Number one, creation. Number two, deliverance. And number three, redemption. How does the Sabbath relate to creation, to deliverance, and to redemption? We're going to talk about that in three areas this morning. I think you'll appreciate each one of them. Some of you may appreciate one more than another, but we have three options, three to choose from, and I hope you're all blessed by at least one of those areas this morning. Before we begin, I'd appreciate it if you'd bow your heads and pray with me. Father, as we open your word this morning, I pray that you, through your Spirit, might speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Part one of our study is the purpose of the Sabbath in light of creation. I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the opening text that was already read for you in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. We'll go right on into chapter 2 and read verses 1 through 3. And I'll be reading this morning from the New International Version. Eldon read it for us already this morning. I'd like to share it again. I'd like for you to follow along with me if you would. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested or ceased from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested. He what? Thank you. He rested or ceased from all the work of creating that he had done. Now in Mark, a little cross-reference if you want to write it down, Mark 2, 27 and 28, Jesus declared that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. This being the case, I have a question for you this morning. In light of Creation Week, what was God's purpose in giving Adam and Eve this extra day, the seventh day, which he blessed and made holy? Did Adam and Eve need a day off? Did they need a day of rest from their physical labor? Why would God give them a Sabbath day and make it holy just for them? There's some questions for you to think about this morning. Now, with those thoughts in mind, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Would you do that? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. The book of Ecclesiastes comes right after the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. Once you find it, I'd like for you to keep it open for just a moment, because we're going to take a look at some key words there in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1. I'm reading from the New International Version again. Remember your Creator is what it says. In the days of your youth, because the days of trouble come, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator in the days of your what? Youth. Because the day will come when your arthritis will make you miserable. That's what it say. Because when you get old, you wish you could have been young. Again. Now slip down to verse 6. Remember him. Before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Question. What is Solomon saying here? I'd like for you to look at the first three words again in verse 1. Remember your who? Your Creator. Whose Creator? Your Creator. Your Creator. Sorry, all right? The first two words in verse 6 of the NIV also says, remember Him. Is Solomon giving us a key here, I wonder, as to why Adam and Eve needed the Sabbath day of rest following the creation week? Is there a key here? Let me answer that by asking another question. Think with me now. Had Adam and Eve remembered their Creator when they were being tested by the enemy of God or the serpent, might things have turned out differently at the tree? What do you think? Beloved, may I suggest that the purpose of the Sabbath, in light of creation week, was to give man a special day in which he could remember his personal Creator God. Now listen to this statement. It comes from a little book called Christ Object Lessons, page 25. Nice page to jot down. God gave to men the memorial of His creative power that they might discern Him in the works of His hands. Do you see it there? Do you see it? God gave to Adam and Eve the seventh day Sabbath as a memorial of His creative power so that they would always be able to remember Him as the one who created all things, including them. Every day, Adam and Eve walked side by side. They worked with the trees, the shrubs, the flowers, the plants, the vines, the fruit, the animals, the birds, the fish. They walked in the meadowlands and among the rolling hills. And everything their eyes beheld, every sound their ears heard, every fragrance they inhaled, every touch of nature they experienced were constant reminders of their Creator God. As the Sabbath day, the seventh day, or the end of the week, drew near, their hearts must have burned within them as they longed to meet the one, and only friend they knew, that was their Creator God, Jesus Christ. They longed for that moment when Friday came, the end of the sixth day, so that they could be with their Creator. Not only was the Sabbath an opportunity for worshiping and praising their friend Jesus or God, but it was a protection. The Sabbath became a protection against the possibility of ever forgetting their origin. That's an important point. In other words, forgetting who they were and where they came from and who their friend was. As long as they remembered their Creator, they were safe. And the Sabbath served just such a purpose. It was a day for remembering, a day for returning thanks. It was a day on which Adam and Eve could pause and reflect back over the preceding week and remember God's greatness, His goodness, His holiness, and His life-giving creative power. What a day to spend with your God. So, what was the purpose of the Sabbath in light of creation? It was to be a constant memorial of God's creative power. And it also served as a protection for man so that he would always remember his origin. Is that why you worship God on the Sabbath? Part two. The second part of our study deals with the purpose of the Sabbath in light of deliverance. You might find this interesting. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus this time. Exodus chapter 5. And let's take a look at verses 1 through 9. Exodus 5, beginning with verse 1. Again, I'm reading from the NIV. Exodus 5, verse 1. And this is what it says. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so they may be able to hold a festival to me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert that we might offer sacrifices to the Lord our God." Verse 4. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce or make less the quota. They're lazy. That's why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. End quote. Now, if you've ever studied the parallels between ancient Israel and spiritual Israel by looking at the type and anti-type, then this part of today's message should have a very significant meaning for you. In the text that we've just read, Pharaoh refuses to let Israel worship their God on the seventh day Sabbath. In fact, he passes a law which prohibits them from worshiping their God at all. Then he calls out his officers to enforce a law, a decree, so that no work, so that work, in other words, Israel had to work on the very day that God requested them to worship him. To me, it's significant that Israel's test came as a result of the Sabbath issue. That to me is significant. Their desire to worship the true God brought oppressive legislation and persecution, is what I'm saying. But God worked mighty miracles in their behalf, and you'll recall the story how he delivered them from their captivity and made it possible for them to worship him on his true Sabbath day. Amen? Now, after Israel's deliverance, the Lord reestablished his Sabbath worship among those who had come out of Egypt or Babylon. And it was this coming out of bondage or deliverance from slavery or forced labor that God focused on when he gave the people his Ten Commandments. Now, beloved, there's some key points here, very powerful parallels between ancient and modern today. I'd like for you to notice how God wrote it in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. You're in chapter 5, turn quickly to Exodus 20, and let's read something very familiar, but let's focus on how God now introduces his Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 1 through 3. And God spoke all these words, quote, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, or out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Here God identifies himself as their God. He has chosen this people as his peculiar people or possession. He reminds them that he has delivered them from their bondage. Thus he commands them to allow no other gods to come between them and him. And what do you think he does to help them remember that he is their deliverer and that he is the only one who's worthy of their worship? What do you think he did to help them remember? He reestablished his Sabbath rest. And in verses 8 through 11, he reminds them of who he is and then reflects on the original purpose of the Sabbath. Let's look at it. You have it there? Let's take just a moment. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is, I'm reading from the NIV, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now let's take a look at a couple of important points. First, I want you to go back to verse 11, if you would, for a moment. Here we have the official seal of God. A royal seal, we understand, must have three basic elements. Number one, it must have the name of the person in authority, just like the President of the United States of America. Must have the name of the person in authority. Number two, the title of the person in authority. And number three, the territory over which that person has authority. According to verse 11, which you have there in front of you, what is the name of the person in authority? The Lord thy God. And what is the title of that authority? What does he do? He is the maker, the creator, right? That is his title. He is the creator God. And what is the territory over which this God, this creator, rules and has his authority? All the earth, the sea, and everything that's in them. The heavens and earth combined. That includes, beloved, you and me. We also are part of God's family. Now, there's two more points that I want to share from verse 10 before we move on. Now, if you have the NIV, or if you were watching the word that I was emphasizing, you'll notice that the NIV has a little article, A Sabbath. You see it there? The seventh day is a Sabbath if you have an NIV. If you have the King James Version or the KJV, it'll be rendered the Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath, not a Sabbath. Now, some of my friends have gotten rather frustrated at that. And thus, they throw out all other translations of the Bible and say, we can't trust any other Bible than the King James. So I won't read any other Bible because of things like that. Would you please listen to me this morning and not get too frustrated to where you lose your Christian experience? All right? Let me share something with you this morning. It might be worth your having come here this morning. The seventh day was a Sabbath that God set aside for man. It was a Sabbath. It happened to be the weekly Sabbath. It came every 7 days. But it was a Sabbath that God instituted during creation week. Now, in addition to this seventh day Sabbath, which is the only Sabbath God ever blessed and made holy, there were also seven annual ceremonial Sabbaths. Are you aware of that? Which were scattered throughout Israel's religious calendar. Now, these Sabbaths were based on the lunar calendar and could fall on any day of the week. When they coincided with the seventh day Sabbath or weekly Sabbath, they were called high Sabbaths or high days. And you can find that in John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 31. John 19, 31. When Jesus died, the weekend that Jesus died was a high Sabbath. When a Sabbath fell on the Sabbath, we had a dual Sabbath. We had a high Sabbath. Very special. Very important. Now, if you're interested in these additional Sabbaths, I'm just going to give them to you. Don't try to write them down. Just listen to them. You can get the tape if you want, and then you can slow it down and write them down if you want. One of these Sabbaths fell on the day of Pentecost. One on the Feast of Trumpets. One fell on the Day of Atonement. One fell on the day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the last one came at the close of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now follow me carefully. It was these seven ceremonial Sabbaths that Paul spoke of in Colossians 2. Write that text down. Colossians 2, verses 16 through 17. When he said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, plural, which are a shadow of things to come. In other words, beloved, these ceremonies that Paul was referring to were types which foreshadowed the coming of Jesus Christ, the antitype. They had their fulfillment in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And that's why Paul could say in verse 14 of Colossians chapter 2, that Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, nailing it to the cross. He nailed those little Sabbaths to the cross. He nailed the old meat sacrifices and ceremonies to the cross, for Jesus was the fulfillment of all of that. But He exonerated His moral law. His seventh-day Sabbath was never nailed to the cross. The ceremonial Sabbaths and their shadows or types, Paul understood well. He also understood the significance of the seventh-day Sabbath, the Sabbath that was given at creation itself many, many years before there was ever a Jew, unless Adam was a Jew. The seventh-day Sabbath, Paul faithfully kept as a part of God's moral law. One other little point from verse 10 of Exodus 20. The phrase that we've been talking about, seventh day is a Sabbath, don't get too upset at that. It was, it is, but it's also the Sabbath. Amen? It's interesting, and this is just for those of you that like to play with numbers and things like that. That little phrase, seventh day is a Sabbath, or seventh day is the Sabbath, forms the nucleus of God's Ten Commandment law. Did you know that? It's just sort of fun to play with this. I'm not trying to make anything great out of it, but it's just fun. It's interesting to know that when God spoke the law from the mountain, these little five words make up the center of His law. It's the heart. When translated into the English language, we find 146 words on each side of seventh day is the Sabbath. I think that's kind of nice. Now, it's also interesting to note that the law was placed in the center of the ark, which was the center of the Holy of Holies, which was in the midst of the royal priest, which was in the midst of the camp of Israel, which was in the midst of the entire world. I think that's kind of neat. Don't you think that's nice? Jesus put it right in the heart, the nucleus, the center of it all. So what was the purpose of the Sabbath in light of the deliverance of Israel? The weekly Sabbath was reestablished within Israel not only to identify God as their creator and ruler, but to be a weekly reminder that He was also their physical protector, their deliverer from bondage. And thus the Sabbath was a memorial of their physical deliverance from slavery. Now, for those of you that are students and want to jot this down, take a look at Exodus 16 sometime, starting with verse 4. And read verses 16 through 26 of that same little chapter. Exodus 16, 4 through 26. Jesus reminded them for 40 years that the seventh day was the Sabbath. And something uniquely happened every sixth day. That's why we have the term today, preparation for the Sabbath. God prepared His people for the Sabbath for 40 years. Long years. So for those of you who'd like to read that, you'll find the significance of the Sabbath as God tried to share a simple principle to them every week as the children of Israel were there in the desert. Part three of our study this morning, and our last part, is dealing with the purpose of the Sabbath in light of redemption. Probably one of the most important parts of this morning's presentation. When God delivered Israel from their bondage in Egypt, the Sabbath was already a memorial of creation. He had given that to Adam and Eve. But it soon became to them, Israel now, a memorial of their deliverance. Deuteronomy 5:15. Thus the Sabbath has become a powerful symbol in the life of every born-again child of God. In other words, not only does it represent the physical creation of man and the physical deliverance of Israel, it also represents the spiritual recreation of man today, as well as his spiritual deliverance from the bondage of sin. Did you know that the Sabbath represented our freedom, our deliverance from sin through Jesus Christ? Did you know that? Today, man needs to escape, may I suggest, from the bondage of selfishness. Have you found that root in your life? I have in mine. You and I need to escape from the greed and illicit power that is available to so many around us today. We need to escape from the bondage of social injustice and inequality today. If we would only take a few moments to look back to creation and Calvary, we would see the symbol of our own freedom today that God has marked out for us in two major events. Listen to them. First, when God finished His work of creation on the sixth day, which was His first great act in world history, He rested on the seventh day. This rest was a symbol of eternal memorial. It was an eternal memorial of completion and accomplishment. That's creation. Secondly, as it was in the beginning, so it was at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, when God finished His work of redemption on the sixth day, which was His second great act in world history, He rested on the seventh day. This rest was a symbol, an eternal memorial of completion and accomplishment, just like His creation originally. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 9. I want to share a text that may take on a little deeper meaning to you than perhaps it ever has in the past in light of what we just said. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Do you have it there? Hebrews 4, verses 9 through 11. I'd like for you to follow along. The author of Hebrews says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rest from His own work, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience," or the example of Israel, that's what it's referring to. Now follow me, beloved. I don't want you to miss this important point. Our text is not talking about resting from all physical labor on the Sabbath day or from doing good. God commanded that we do good on the Sabbath day, not sleep all afternoon. Sure sounds good though, doesn't it? Sometimes. It is talking in context here about entering into a spiritual rest where we can rest from our spiritual labor. It's talking about resting in the work Jesus has completed and accomplished for us. The Sabbath is a memorial of God's creative and redeeming power. It is a sign between those who rest in the saving grace of what God has done for them and their Creator God, who has promised to recreate His image in them. Ezekiel 20, verse 12, and also verse 20, tells us that we are to hallow His Sabbaths, for they are to be a sign between Him and us, that we may know that He is the Lord our God, the one who sanctifies us. Boy, that's pregnant with thought. So what is the purpose then of the Sabbath and light of redemption? Listen up now. If you're asleep, wake up. Listen carefully. What's the purpose of the Sabbath and light of redemption? It is a day which has been made for man so that he can enter into God's rest, relying on His righteousness, God's righteousness, God's justification, and God's sanctification. You want me to read that again? I didn't hear one amen. Maybe that was a shock to you and you were still in shock. I'm going to read it again anyway. The Sabbath is a day which has been made for man so that he can enter into God's rest, relying on His righteousness, His justification, and His sanctification. Thank you. By resting, now follow me, by resting in the Lord on His holy day, or the seventh day Sabbath, we, you and I, are signifying that we have been delivered from the bondage of sin, and that by this act of faith on our part to worship God on His day, we have received His perfect righteousness in our lives. Are you still with me? To rest on any other day would indicate that we're trusting in something or someone other than Christ for our salvation. For the first 6 days of the week are days that reflect the works of man. 6 days shall you labor. The first 6 days reflect the works of man and can never signify man's rest in Christ or his dependence upon the work that God has done for him. That's heavy meat. To worship on Sabbath tells the world we're free in Jesus Christ. To worship on Sunday is an indication that we are under bondage and have not been set free in Jesus Christ. Yeah. I love theology. I don't like the philosophy of man, but I love good theology, and you're hearing it this morning. In summary, the purpose of the Sabbath memorial is threefold. First, to be a constant reminder that God is the creator of all life and that man's origin was a direct result of God's creative power. You belong to God. Amen. Number two, the Sabbath brings to our remembrance our deliverance and captivity from sin. Number three, the Sabbath is to be a continual sign of God's sanctifying power in our lives and to provide a weekly opportunity for us to rest in the works of Christ's righteousness in our behalf. No wonder we can come to church and praise God, from whom all blessings flow. That should thrill your heart to know that this morning. When we consider the seventh-day Sabbath and its purpose for man, it's no wonder that God said in Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, if you keep your foot from breaking my Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. For the Sabbath, a day that we can come and sing praises to you, that we can rest in your righteousness, that we can rest in your accomplishments, that we can trust you, that you have not only created this world, but you have recreated our hearts through Jesus Christ. And Father, in that process that is still going on, we just want to thank you for setting this day aside where we can commune with you and meet with you, where we can sense your Spirit. Father, thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for the special memorial of freedom from bondage that the world does not know. Father, may it not be a yoke around our neck, but rather, may it be a symbol of peace and joy and thanksgiving, both now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.